This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Owenson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 17 in a series on the book of Exodus and deals with the fifth of the Ten Commandments. This message is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and is called Family Honor. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Exodus chapter 20 because we are studying the Ten Commandments and we are on the fifth commandment. Very good. Very good. We're on the fifth commandment. And we are looking today at one that affects the family. And some of you are saying, oh no, I forgot. This is the one in the family. This was a Sunday I meant not to come. I don't want to be here. It's too painful. Or I don't have kids or they're grown up. Or I have grandkids and I'm past that stage. Or I'm never going to have kids. Or you don't know what's going on in my life. But I know. But this pertains to all of us. Because we're all in a family, and we all want great families, and this commandment applies to us as a church, and I'll try to make that known. But for those of you who are parents right now, you may feel like this email that Alicia Edson sent me, and this is what the email says. It's been going around. I've been saving it. It's so good. I'm hereby officially tendering my resignation as an adult. I've decided I would like to accept the responsibilities of an 8-year-old instead. I want to go to McDonald's and think it's a four-star restaurant. I want to sail sticks across a fresh mud puddle and make a sidewalk with rocks. I want to think M&Ms are better than money because you can eat them. I want to lie under a big oak tree and run a lemonade stand with my friends on a hot summer's day. I want to return to a time when life was simple, when all you knew were colors, multiplication tables, and nursery rhymes, but that didn't bother you because you didn't know what you didn't know and you didn't care. All you knew was to be happy because you were blissfully unaware of all the things that should make you worried or upset. I want to think the world is fair, that everyone is honest and good. I want to believe that anything is possible. I want to be oblivious to the complexities of life and be overly excited by the little things again. I want to live simple. I don't want my day to consist of computer crashes, mountains of paperwork, depressing news, how to survive more days in a month than there is money in the bank, doctor's bills, gossip, illness, and loss of loved ones. I want to believe in the power of smiles, hugs, kind word, truth, justice, peace, dreams, imagination, mankind, and making angels in the snow up north. If you do that here, you're in trouble. So here's my checkbook and my car keys, my credit card bills, and my 401k statements. I'm officially resigning from adulthood, and if you want to discuss this further, you'll have to catch me first because tag, you're it. I like that. Life can be so stressful, particularly if you're a parent, but it's kind of like the guy that went to the bar and he was drinking a beer. He was a Presbyterian, I think, but it was a tough time, and he was facing that beer, and this big biker comes up to him, picks up the beer, drinks it in one gulp, and the guy starts crying. And this mean biker says, "Guy, I hate to see men cry. I was just kidding. What's the matter?" He said, "Well, this is the worst day of my life. I can't do anything right. I overslept. Missed an important meeting with my boss. He fired me. Went to the parking lot, found my car was stolen. I don't have any insurance. Grabbed a cab home, but the cab left. I discovered my wallet was in the cab. At home, I found my wife was moving out. My dog bit me. So I came to this bar to try to work up courage to put an end to my life, and you show up and drink my poison." I like that, huh? You feel like that? Maybe not. But this whole thing about family can bring you pretty close to suicide. If you had a bad family growing up, you bear the marks of it now, and it affects you, it affects your family, it affects your marriage, it affects your kids, it affects your grandkids. Unless you're able by God's grace to move away from it, it'll affect you. And we carry so much stuff into our Christian life, the family stuff. And the fifth commandment is so rich with applications for us. It embraces all of us of every age, and because we all want families, we all want good families. The fifth commandment reminds us, though, in a powerful way, that good families don't just happen. That honor in the home doesn't just happen. It takes hard work. And this applied to Israel, and it applies to us. It's powerful stuff. Now, before we look at the fifth commandment and do a review of all the four, I want you to be remembered. I want you to be reminded of where Israel is. Look at the picture. Look at the picture. There they are. Moses is where? He's on the ten. He's on the top of Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments as these are being given to him one by one. The finger of God is carving them into stone, and the Israelites are on that plain. Picture tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Fires, smoke rising to the sky, kids running around, mothers and fathers trying to figure out if they're going to move that day or if they're going to stay that day. While they're waiting for Moses, they're going to stay put. What's happening? Trying to keep their kids in line. Grandparents wondering how to help their kids make it into the next phase of life. That's where they are. They haven't reached the promised land yet, but God is giving the commandments to Moses so that his people could learn to live as free people. They've been miraculously delivered from Egypt. Keep that in mind. And now God has given them the Big Ten, not having to do with the NCAA. And I don't want to hear, we got some people in this church who have idols, absolutely committed to their football team. The Ohio State people are the worst. I've been getting them. I keep guys, some of them in our leadership, pray for them. Just idols everywhere you look. I don't want to mention any names, Mike and Murray. They're out there. But what he's saying to these free people is that if you will follow these guidelines, you'll live free. We're going to make you into a mighty nation. It'll be a great nation. But only if you follow these 10 principles of grace. And now let me give you a quick review, because the first commandment is what? Do you remember? Are you memorizing these? You can't get to heaven if you memorize them, but this will help you live free. First one is no other gods. God is saying, I'm the only one, the only real God, the only God there is. So keep me primary in your life. There's only one God. Number two, make no idols, graven images. For those of you who studied the King James, no other idols, because all of them are counterfeits. Counterfeits kill you. I will build you. Number three, take me seriously. Don't misuse my name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right. Don't misuse my name. And then the fourth commandment, which we spent 2 weeks on, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Rest and remember that you guys have been taken out of Egyptian bondage. You're free. One day a week. Don't do anything. Rest and remember who you are. You're free people. And now the fifth commandment. Here it is. Exodus 20, verse 12. All right, let's say it together. You ready? One, two, three. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There it is. That's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. A couple of weeks ago, as I told you, I was up at West Point seeing the stone burners who are in ministry to the NAVs and to the cadets at West Point. On your program, it says they're in England. They're not there anymore. They're in New York at West Point. Here they are, great family, and such a strategic ministry they have in developing the future lieutenants and captains and colonels and generals and leaders in our country. A very strategic ministry. But central in at West Point is that statue of General Douglas MacArthur. Some of you say John MacArthur. No, he's a pastor out in California. Douglas MacArthur, the most famous and beloved superintendent at West Point. He looms like, oh, there's a statue of Dwight Eisenhower. That's great. And there's George Washington on a horse. It's so cool. But center in the campus is this. And around there, the words of MacArthur, famous words in which he talks about duty, honor, country. I want you to know it was so cool to be called sir up there. Everybody called me sir. Honor. I came home and said, hey, could you take out the trash? Up there, they understand honor. Honor. Honor is something that is really almost lost in American society. It is found in certain segments of our culture. It's still there. How important honor really is. Now, let's talk about these commandments real quick. The command to Israel is very simple. Live a life of honor in relationship to your mother and father. The promise is very simple to understand here, too. The promise is this, that Israel, if you honor your father and mother, then you will live what? You'll live a very long time. You're not in the promised land yet, but you will create a culture that is much more stable. A culture that can last when you teach the children to respect and honor the parents, because once you teach them to respect and honor the parents, kids will be raised then to transfer that honor and respect to other spheres of influence out there, other people, other authorities that are over them, and there's always going to be some authority over them. So if you get it in the home, then they'll get it in the culture, and the culture can survive. Now, wrapped up in the promise that you'll live long time in the land is the flip side, is a curse, right? If you don't create honor in your home, what will happen to the kids? They will become impossible. And the glue that holds the family together will come apart. And therefore, what will happen is that the glue that holds the family together and the glue that holds the culture together, which is the family, that'll come apart. And then your culture will disintegrate. And that's he's telling them how to live by grace. And you say, what is a lifestyle of grace? It's a God-centered focus on the one who redeemed them and set them free from. See, in the first four commandments, God is saying, you Israelites, live in grace by remembering that I saved you. And then bring that grace into all of your relationships, starting in the home. That's a life of grace. Live thinking God saved us, God-centered, and rejoicing. And Jeff Vogan does a great job of constructing worship services here that remind us that Jesus did it all. So we're free, living in grace. And now, he says, live in grace toward me. Understand what you've received. Now flush that out. Starting in the home, there ought to be honor and respect in the home, and that's what this is going on. By the way, this was a principal history in every culture, and you knew I was going to get to history, didn't you? The Persian culture became great and dominated the world, and you know what the Persians did with their kids? Boy, they rigorously disciplined them. They made them into kids that obeyed, and then they became the champions of the world, and then they got softer on their kids, and then the families broke up, and then the culture broke up, and then the Greeks came along, and the Greeks disciplined their kids and made their kids into respectful, obedient adults, and then they took over the world, and then they became famous, and then they became soft on their kids, and their kids degenerated, and their culture degenerated, and then the Romans came along, no greater power than the Roman father, who had the power of life and death over his sons through adulthood. I kind of like that. And then the Romans became the emperors of the world, and then they became soft on their kids, and it goes on. It happened in Israel. It's happened in every culture. Every culture started out strong, diminishes. We see any parallels in America? Yeah, of course. Growing and complex societies become arrogant. Growing and complex societies look at themselves and say, look what we've accomplished. And then they move away from what made them successful and they degenerate. Arrogance says, well, that's what God says, but it doesn't apply to us today. Yes, it does, and the church has it too. Look at the New Testament, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It applies to us today, does it not? It does. Now, we need to talk about this, and I've only got 2 points. that I want us to look at today, but I'm feeling like, is it getting a little warm in here? Or is it just the topic? Maybe our elders could turn it down a little bit in here so you all stay awake, or our deacons, or somebody, because this one you don't want to miss. Let's talk about it. Honor defined. Honor comes from the Hebrew word kabod, which means heavy. It is a heavy responsibility. It is a heavy responsibility to honor your father and your mother. It is a heavy responsibility for grown-up children to honor your father and mother, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. So it comes from that Hebrew idea of heavy. We're talking about a serious subject here, aren't we? Serious. Kabod means to honor, to pay honor to those who are in authority over us. And you know, the interesting thing is that parents are in authority over us. Parents, and some of you are saying, yeah. Parents are in authority over us. In fact, parents are in a chain of authority over their children that comes directly from no less than God himself. And those of you who had babies, you know that you're kind of a god to your kids. When they're laying there on the table or in the cradle or they're crying their eyes out, they're asking for food, they're dirty, they need to be cleaned up. You are their god. You're looking down on them. You have the power of life and death. They look to you for everything. And when they get older, they're looking up at you and they're going, and they tremble sometimes when you raise your voice, and they should, because you're kind of a god to them. You're in the chain of authority of God. And they get to a point where they realize that you are their procreator. You are their protector. You are their provider. You are their teacher, primary teacher. You know, interesting thing. The Hebrew word for teacher and the Hebrew word for parent are related words. You are their teacher. And so your role in their life is absolutely crucial. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. I put this up all the time. We talk about family. It's so powerful. Verse 7 says, you shall teach them all the commands of God. You shall teach them to your children, but that word in there, you shall teach them diligently to your children. It takes diligence to be a parent. And listen to what Martin Luther said. I like this. Honor your father and mother refers to those who are the representatives of God. Therefore, as God is to be served with honor and fear, his representatives are too. But some of you are saying, hey, listen, doesn't it say in Psalms someplace, children are a gift from the Lord? Doesn't it say that? How many of you agree with that statement? Children are a gift from the Lord. Okay, you're the honest ones. Now, let me ask you this. Let me add a little bit to that. Children are always a gift from the Lord. Raise your hand. Okay, good, good. You're taking that in faith. There were so many fewer hands that came up that second time. I want you to know. There are times when we look at our kids and we say, you are no longer a gift from God. You're a troublemaker. But those of us who know, we're going to be theologically orthodox. We know that kids are a gift from God. But notice, that comes in Psalms. At the very beginning in the book of Exodus, God says, parents are a gift to children. And sometimes we miss that. We misunderstand our role. We forget. We're wrapped up in a culture that says it's all about the kids. And yet God says, no, let's get first things first. We need to understand that the parents are a gift to the children, because then they can become whole and mature and real human beings. What are the honors categories? Well, honor includes three things at least. It includes reverence, which carries the idea of veneration and courtesy. Parents, have you ever talked to your kids and say, all right, you don't have to agree with me on this, but at least you must be courteous in how you address me. That's right. That's wrapped up in this. Obedience, compliance. Honor your father and your mother includes obedience. Now, the great part of this is it only pertains until they're out on their own. They don't have to obey you anymore, do they? They need to honor you, but they don't have to obey you. But it carries that when they're young, at least for the first 25 years of life. If you're a girl, Jesse is not going to be dating for many, 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 many years. Honor your father and your mother. Reverence, obedience, repayment. In old age, if they need it. Now this is going to blow you away. In the Old Testament, what happened when a child did not, if there's any kids here, you better listen. It is far better to live under the new covenant than the old. When kids did not honor their parents, Exodus 21, 15 and 17, he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 21, 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey. I wonder why it doesn't say daughter there. A stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Then the father and the mother shall seize him. The father and the mother both shall seize him. Bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall come and stone him to death, so that you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. I think that would send a message into other kids. All you got to do is kill a kid every few weeks. I mean, nope. Be in line, you know. Now, if you read the rabbis, they would say, we never applied this. We never applied that. Sounds so harsh. We never applied it, because they want to appear to be helpful. But then back in Proverbs 30, 17, it says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Translated, you scorn your parents to your own peril. Whew. Well, let's try to apply this. This is very easy. We should just close in prayer. This was easy to talk about, wasn't it? Very easy to explain, very difficult to apply. So let's try. The first application is that children really are to honor their father and mother. Children really are to do that even today. It really is something that is not just for the Old Testament, but it's for today. And cultures and families become successful when their children are respectful and they are taught in the family. And note that the respect is here for both the dads and the moms. And there are some cultures, and you know, you've seen some of these cultures, where the boy, the little boy, can get away with murder, and all the pressure's on the little girl. The little boy, because he's the heir apparent in the family, and these little boys are terrors, but that's just the way it is. They've institutionalized disobedience to the fifth commandment because it's all about the little boy. That's not right. Got to discipline the boy. Got to discipline the little girl. Got to keep them in line to honor your father and mother. I've told you about this, but remember some years ago in one of the African national parks, the young male elephants were going crazy. I mean, they were tearing up trees. They were goring other animals that young elephants don't normally gore or hurt. And so the experts were called in, and the experts said, where are all the male adult elephants? And poachers had come in and weeded them out for the ivory. And so there was a lot of young males and not a lot of older males. And so what they did is they reintroduced some older males, and all the problems stopped because the younger guys were kept in line. You know, guys, dads are needed in the home because those little gorillas grow up to be big gorillas. And there's a time when, one sole reason for staying in shape physically, guys, is so that you can intimidate your sons as long as possible. You'll lose that eventually, then you can go out and buy a gun. But you need to, I only say it because it's true. You need to be able to stand down your sons and say, you will not talk to my wife this way. And that's so important. But there's another element in that, and this is important to keep in mind in our culture. Our public education is decidedly pro girls. This has been documented. I'm not just bringing this up. It's been documented after study after study after study. Teachers, which are more female today, like female students because male students are gorillas. They're disruptive. Really, the best situation is for a little boy to be brought up in a boys' school with a male teacher. We won't go there. But we need to understand that we live in a changing culture where this applies to in the best of all possible worlds. We train our little girls and our little boys to show respect to mom and dad in the home. Which, by the way, tells us what the real family is supposed to be, isn't it? A family is supposed to be a male and a female together raising the kids. That's what God designed it. And you know, we're not making a political statement here. We're simply making a biblical statement that in a culture that is trying to create a dad-free zone in families, and we are, we can't go that way. We can't, as God's people, we can't be positive. We can't vote for a redefinition of the family that says it doesn't matter. You know, that gays want to marry and have kids. And we can't ever say that's right because it's not. It will lead to the dissolution of our society. Not anti-gay. We love gays. They need Jesus Christ as much as we do. They're sinners. We're sinners. We all need Christ. But we can't redefine the family because it would hurt us. It will hurt our culture. I was raised in a family that came apart. My parents divorced when I was 11, and it came apart. And an application here is that we are a big family, and we need each other. If it weren't for the men of the church and the brothers in the church, I don't know where I'd be. Steve Brown says I'd be a serial killer probably. Listen, I'd be more messed up than I already am. I'll tell you this much, I'd have had multiple marriages and my kids would hate me. But when my parents' family fell apart, they kept me in the church. And all these, I had a whole bunch of fathers who were kind to me. I had a whole bunch of mothers who were kind. I had a whole bunch of big brothers that you step out of line, you're going to be crushed. It's great. We need each other. We've got single families in this church. Single family parents. We need you to be a part of the church. You need to be a part of the community groups. We want you to be. We want to support you. Because in the body of Christ, family is a bigger issue. Does this give context for my constant berating about the children's ministry? I know. I live with the children's director. It's my wife, but this was a non-paid political announcement. But you know what? I buy that we got to be a family here. And with the breakdown of the family, we need to teach our kids, and we need you involved, all of you. We need gorillas. We need you big gorillas involved with the little gorillas. By the way, that does lead us to the point, what is a father? What is a mother? What is a family? Who is a parent? The Jewish tradition said whoever raises the kid. Step-parents, foster parents, grandparents, family members, whoever raises the kid is a parent and deserves that honor and respect back. And I want to say this, just by way of warning, again, because from my experience, I experienced it and I see it so much. Young couples struggling in their marriage and thinking, we're gonna divorce. We're gonna break this up. I'm gonna start over. I'm gonna get another spouse. I'm gonna get another dad, another mom for my kids. I want to tell you something. Doesn't always work out that way. Kids are resilient. Sure, take a stick and beat them on the back. They're resilient. Divorce happens. You know, this is a grace church. Divorce in my family. It's not a. it's just to consider that when these kids get older, what you are saddling them with is multiple parents. Talked to a lady the other day who had six or seven who she considered were, you know, they were former in-laws and former parents and step-parents and all of this kind of stuff. She had so many parents. She had more parents than I have kids. You make a decision to walk away. You make a decision. You may die and saddle your kids with somebody to take care of who they haven't ever bonded with. And then what do? Well, it's stuff to keep in mind. So I said, explain this is easy. The application is complex. And the second one, by way of application, is that parents teach their children how to honor them. Yep, it's true. It's your job and it's my job, and parents and grandparents, to stay involved in the life of our kids so that we teach them how to honor us. If you don't teach them how to honor you, they're not going to learn it. It's not loving to not teach your kids to respect you. You are putting them at a liability. I love the story of the rabbi. The rabbi sitting next to the atheist on an airplane, and every once in a while, the rabbi's grandkids or kids would come up and say, hey, you need something to drink? You need some food? You doing okay? You all right? And finally, the atheist turned to him and said, my grandkids don't treat me like that. And the rabbi said, well, think about it. My kids and grandkids think of me as one step closer to Holy Torah and to Mount Sinai and the law of God. Your kids think of you as one step closer to being an ape. I love that. You know why we didn't laugh more on that? Because it's so true. It's profoundly true that an evolutionary anti-view of God means that your parents stand in the way of wholeness, whereas the Judeo-Christian view is that your parents make it happen. There's an old Grimm's fairy tale about a dad who was living with a family in an extended way, and it was great at first until he got older and older, and then he couldn't eat his food right, and then he was spilling things on the table, and he was making a mess and breaking things, and finally the son and daughter-in-law were so frustrated, they said, Dad, you can't eat at our table anymore, and they put him over on another table, and then gave him a wooden bowl to eat out of so he wouldn't break it, And then finally, he was so noisy and messy, and he was coming unglued, and they put him in another room. And finally, one day, this little boy in the family came running in and said, Dad, Mom, look what I made you. And she said, that's a nice wooden bowl. What is it? And he said, it's the trough that I made for you when you get old like Grandpa. They brought that dad back to the table that night. Goes around, does come around, honor is not always easy. It's heavy. I know. And some of you are experiencing the heaviness of honoring your parents right now. And we need each other to do that. Support. It's difficult. Parents should be honorable, though. I believe a parent has a right to be honored by virtue of his position, her position. However, there comes a point when a little one begins to move away from you as a God and begins to say, I either need to give you honor because of the position or because you earn it. And kids make a transition. And if a parent is not honorable, they will not give the honor. They might stay in line, but they'll become angrier and angrier and angrier. And so parents have to become honorable. And that's hard because we're a mess when we're young parents. We make all kinds of mistakes. And that's why we need to grow like crazy. We need to be, as young parents, you don't have time not to be in a community group. You don't have time not to work on your marriage and work on Christian growth. It is only Jesus that can make you into an honorable parent. You got to be involved. Stay in it. I'm getting ready to move my library, and I haven't packed all of them, three shelves of books. And as I take these books down, I know some people look and say, why don't you get rid of some of those? I say, because these are my friends. These are my mentors. Talking about dysfunction in a family, one reason I had to grow in Christ is because I had to figure it out. Read, study, pray, grow.
By grace, God makes us honorable, honoring under duress. Now, this is the point that we have to see. Sometimes it's very difficult. You don't know how difficult it is to honor my father and mother. Yeah, I do. I could write a book on it, okay? If you are in a difficult situation, let me tell you this. It becomes a ministry. It can become quite difficult. Some parents make honoring them so difficult, children run and run for self-preservation. All right, last. I know I'm over. You know what that sound said when it beeped? It means nothing. So just hang on, I'm almost done. Guys, don't give up on me. This is worth it. The last couple minutes is worth it here. Honoring the family. You know, what we do get in the body of Christ is the opportunity to honor each other. To experience family. We're not a mega church. We'll never be a mega church. We have small units. We're growing, but we have smaller units. You got to get in those units. Why? To experience family. Community in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we got to have family. And God gives us the opportunity. God is the Father who said, I want you. You're not a mistake. You're not a surprise. I want you to be my daughter, my son. And we can have brothers, we can have sisters, we can grow in the body of Christ. As we end this, the honor of the father and mother thing is bigger because I have spiritual fathers, I have spiritual mothers. It takes on bigger proportions, but it does leave us with the importance of raising kids and of being involved in helping support each other in that. Honor your father and mother. We commit to building people who will build a church, who will build a society. We, by God's grace, are called to be positive influencers in our society. To build kids not that just have good careers, but who are asked regularly, what will your contribution be? When we live by grace, we bring grace from the family to the world. You take it to heart. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to deal with the awkward and frustrating complexities of this command. Give us your grace that as parents, as grandparents, as children, and as step-parents, and as whatever our role, you will enable us, Lord Jesus, to spread your grace and to enjoy the freedom of your grace. We commit our families to you and this family. As we pray in the strong name of you, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. And now may the amazing grace of our Master Jesus Christ, the outrageous love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit go with you this week as you remember and never forget His deep love and concern for you.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org and our phone number is 407-699-8211.